Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Thank God for the book of Ephesians. Thank God for His Word. Praise God. Aren't you glad when we're singing about God, you're good? Aren't you glad that God is consistent? Aren't you glad that you know that about God? That you don't open up your Bible and He's rewritten it? You don't open up your Bible and it's changed.
Amen.
Amen. If He was good yesterday, He's good today. He'll be good tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. That His Word is true and sure and you can count on it. He says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad you have that foundation to stand on?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's read here, Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, it says, And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, he describes a situation here, and then he inserts a phrase that totally changes the situation. I want to point it out to you. But first of all, here in verse 1, it says, And you He made alive. If we go back to verse 1, the phrase there, He made alive, is in, if you have a New King James Bible, that's what I'm reading out of, or I guess any translation, if it has those words in it, they're in italics, which means they were not in the original Greek. The translators added it because they thought they needed to for it to make sense and add clarity. So if you take out He made alive, it says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's actually talking about, and that's the literal translation, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's bringing that back to chapter 1 where he talks about raising Christ and seating Him far above all principality and power. And he says, and you, He did that for you. But if you just, let's just read it though, as it was written, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's basically talking about our condition. He's talking about your state. He's talking about my state before we got saved, before God got involved, before Jesus came into our lives. He says, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, you were under the control of Satan. And he says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. And it says we were in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. We were under the wrath of God because our nature was wrong. Not so much because of what we did, but because of who we are or who we were. Our nature was wrong. Now, because of that nature on the inside of us, it manifested in those evil works, in those wicked deeds, and we were under the wrath and the judgment of God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, your condition can't be any more hopeless than dead, can it? Amen. Now, just naturally speaking, you and I, we were trapped, we were bound. Again, we were by nature children of wrath. God must punish sin. As a holy and just God, He has to punish sin. And our nature was a sin nature. So we were under the wrath of God. But then two words changed the whole equation. But God. But God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were under the wrath of God. And then He says, but God. He didn't say, but you, but we did something. He said, but God. God did something. I said, God did something. Hallelujah. But God. But God changes a totally hopeless situation dead in sins, under the control of Satan, bound by our flesh, a nature of sin, to this. But God, it says, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. So, but God changes dead in trespasses and sins to made alive together with Christ. But God changes that to raised up together with Him. But God changes that to seated together with Him in heavenly places. But God changes that to brought from death to life, from bondage to freedom, and from hopelessness to victory. Hallelujah. But God. Never underestimate the power of but God in your life. Hallelujah. Never sell short what God can do to redeem and change a situation. It might look hopeless. It might look dead. It might look like there's no way there can be victory there. There's only defeat. There's only bondage. There's only misery. But God. But God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And then he goes on in verse 8 here in Ephesians 2, and he says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The power of but God is in reality the grace of God in operation. Amen. God doing for us what only God can do. Amen. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God, he said. Bringing the supernatural power of God into our situation. Amen? And we tap into this grace. It says, by grace are you saved. How? How? Through faith. Through faith. So we tap into this grace by faith, by believing. By believing that God's Word is true. And by believing, Pastor Carl, this is in my message, that He has the final say in our situation. Hallelujah. What did you say about the devil? No. Tell him how it's going to be. Yeah. Tell him how could I forget that? Tell him how it's going to be. Well, I had this written down in this message. Never let the devil have the final say in your situation. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost talking to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Never let the devil have the final say in your situation. Tell the devil how it's going to be. Never let him have the final say in your situation. Why? He doesn't have a right to anymore. He does not have a right to have the final say. He does not have the right anymore to tell you how it's going to be. Jesus stripped him of that right. Amen. Jesus gave it back to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. If you will choose and believe, then God and what God says will have the final say in your situation. Amen. You have to choose that. You have to believe that. But if you and I do, then God will have the final say in our situation. Never let the devil have the final say. Always let God and what God says have the final say in your situation. Amen? I want us to go to the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, and I want us to look at three situations changed by but God. Hallelujah. Mark, the fifth chapter. Mark, the fifth chapter. Verse 1, Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." You talk about a hopeless situation. You talk about someone in bad shape. This was it. I mean, this human being had been by demons, by the influence of demon power, by demon possession. This human being, this creation of God, had been turned into a wild animal. We see this happening today. I know in different crusades. I can't remember if it was one of Tommy's crusades or one of Jared Maryland's crusades. But they've actually had, and I think it's probably both. They probably, because they've both encountered this. They've had folks brought there, just in chains, with a metal collar, with chains around that collar, and bound up. Why? Because they were so wild and so destructive, and the devil had turned them into such an animal that's the only way these people could be managed. That's demon possession, folks. That's bad shape, isn't it? But God. Yes. Oh, nothing's too hard for God. Amen. No condition, no case is beyond the reach of God's grace and God's power. Hallelujah. And they've come to the Crusades like this. And you see them a few nights later and they're set free. Or you've seen videos we've shown here of women that have been demon possessed just flopping and flailing themselves around, you know, down on the ground in front of the platform. Anybody remember seeing these in these crusades flopping and flailing around? And then they show them two nights later, and they're there, and their eyes are clear. They're on the platform. Their eyes are clear. They're giving a testimony. They're raising their hands. They've got a smile on their face. They've got a look of peace all over them because Jesus has delivered them from the power of demons. But this is but we see it today. We're seeing it in our country more and more, unfortunately. And this demon possession is coming in. You see it, you know, I mentioned the case in Miami, Florida, the case of the man that brutally attacked another man under the influence of drugs. I read of another case this week where a man went to his so-called supposed friend and tore out the man's heart. Supernatural strength tore the man's heart out. That's demon possession, folks. It's real, but the power of God is greater. I said the power of God is greater. But God. Turn to your neighbor and say, but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So this man was in a hopeless condition. He was severely demon-possessed. Look at what it says about him. It says he had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him. When they did try to bind him, he had supernatural strength to break these shackles in pieces. Verse 5 says he was always in the mountains and the tombs crying out and cutting himself. We see that today. We see people cutting themselves. That's demons. That's the devil driving them to do that. Defacing the creation of God. That's what the devil just hates God. He hates anything. We are the crown of God's creation. And so naturally the devil would destroy us, try to deface us, try to get us to do everything contrary to that image of God that we were created to live and reflect. Amen? Amen. So he's crying out. He's tormented. He's cutting himself with stones. Verse 6 says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Now, I don't think he started singing, you know, he didn't get his guitar out and start singing, I magnify you, Lord, you're great. It wasn't worship like that. He prostrated himself. Now, the word worship means to prostrate oneself. And so he just fell down before him. There was something in that man. What drew him to Jesus? Well, those demons were controlling him, but there was something in that man that said, you know, I want to be free. There was something in him where he wanted to be free. So when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Now, that wasn't the man talking there. That was the demon talking. The man came wanting to be free. The demon spoke out of the man. The man was so overtaken and overcome by the demons that this main demon that was possessing him, we know there was a multitude of demons in him. My name is Legion, for we're many, he later said. But there was one demon that evidently was in charge, and he spoke out, and he said, what have I to do with you? He says, I implore you that you do not torment me. Well, that's what was about to happen. Amen. And we ought not to negotiate with the devil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So what happened first was the man falls down. Mark kind of records this in reverse order sometimes, as we'll see in another case here. But here's this man. He comes and he prostrates himself before Jesus. And Jesus, recognizing what's going on, says, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then the spirit speaks out of him and says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus? I implore you by God, do not torment me." Verse 9. Then he asked him, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we're many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us." So all the demons are speaking out now. At first, there's the main demon that's speaking. It says, so all the demons begged him. I don't know if this was audible to the other to Jesus' disciples, or if this Jesus was hearing this in the spirit, but all of a sudden he hears all these voices, all these demons crying, "Send us into the swine, send us into the swine." And it says, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. See, the devil always, for him to have any expression in the earth, for demons to have any expression in the earth, they've got to have some physical being to embody. That's why they want to possess people. So their second choice were the swine. And so they... the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently. This is amazing. I hope we get to see a movie of this when we get to. Can you imagine 2,000 pigs running down the hill, ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and drowned in the sea? Somebody said this is where they came up with the concept of deviled ham. I don't know about that, but... Do they still have that nasty stuff? Somebody said, "I had it for lunch yesterday, Pastor." Where you? Oh, well. Underwood deviled ham. Remember that? The little red devil on the can. Good grief. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to the sea, went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus, verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw, listen to this now. Look at this, verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion. Look at him now, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Moments before, he was wild. He was ripping apart the chains that they would try to bind him with. He was crying out, tormented, cutting himself with stones, and now here he is, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And instead of being glad, they were afraid. Some people don't know how to react when God invades a situation. And notice what they did. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. We've kind of got used to our devils. We just prefer keeping them, thank you. That's why some people are. They'd just rather keep their devils. Isn't that sad? Yes. But what I want you to see in this is the power of but God. Here's a man here, hopelessly bound, seemingly hopelessly bound and possessed. But Jesus comes on the scene and the demons are cast out, and all of a sudden the man is sitting and he's clothed and in his right mind. There is no case too hopeless. Amen. There's no individual that's too far gone. I mentioned Tommy O'Dell. I never forget the first time that I heard his testimony. Of course, he's the son of Jerry O'Dell, our dear friend. And we've heard this testimony from two directions now. And so Jerry, of course, Tommy was raised in a preacher's home, got on drugs and at a young age. And at I don't know how old he is, I think it was maybe, this happened when he was maybe 16, 17 years old. He was on hard drugs and was out with his friend, his so-called friends, and he started overdosing. They were in a car. He started overdosing on drugs, and they saw his so-called friends saw that he was dying, and they threw him out of the car. They didn't want to be responsible for his death. They threw him out of the car. He was so bad before this happened. He was so bad His mind was so badly burned out on drugs. Tommy's own testimony, he says, I could not string three words together. And here's Jerry praying for him. Here's Jerry standing for him and believing God. Tommy had gotten so bad that he couldn't hardly function. Couldn't hardly, his mind was so burned out on drugs, he could hardly put three words together. Well, he didn't have to. All he needed was two. He got thrown out of that car, crawled around behind this old abandoned house in the bad part of town in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he's dying, and he knows he's dying. And he has enough thought process left to remember, you know, people have told me about Jesus. I know that Jesus is the answer. I know he's my only hope. I know he's the only way out. I hope it's not too late. And he prayed a two-word prayer. Jesus, okay. That was his prayer. Jesus, okay. That's all you need for but God. Amen. That's all you need for God just to come flooding in and rushing in to your situation and to your life. Jesus, okay. He said, when I said that, he said, instantly the power of God began to burn through my body. He said, instantly, he said, my mind was restored. My mind was healed. He said that, he said, it felt like someone reached in on the inside of me and just pulled something out by the roots. He said, and I knew I was free. He said, I stood up and I raised my hands and I said, I'm free. I'm free. Satan, you lost your slave. Tommy O'Dell will never be your slave again. I'm free. And he stood there, tears running down his face, praising God, knowing that he was free, and he's been free ever since. Amen. And he's preached the gospel around the world, and God has used him to set thousands upon thousands upon thousands of others free. Hallelujah. From demonic power and from sickness and disease. Amen. But God. Amen. But God. Amen. But God. Hallelujah. Never underestimate the power of but God. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So this man, in verse 18, it says, when Jesus, they said, we want you to leave, Jesus. So Jesus, he will oblige you. Jesus will not come in or not stay as an uninvited guest. When he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Well, naturally, he said, this is the man that set me free. I want to just travel around with him now. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God wants to do great things for you. God wants to invade your situation. I'm sure it's not as dramatic or as hopeless as this, but it may look that way to you. It may, to you, it may look just as hopeless. Hallelujah. But I want you to know God wants to do great things for you. I want you to know God wants to have compassion on you. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so, verse 20, it says, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. I imagine so. I imagine so. They knew this guy. They probably took bus tours.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you look to your right here, the region of the Gadarenes, you will see, if you look over toward the cemetery, you'll see this man, you know, who's just, he's oh, there he goes. He's breaking more chains. Ooh, you might want to hide your children's eyes here. He's cutting himself with stones now. The blood is gushing out.
Everybody knew him. Everybody knew this guy. And so he comes walking into town, and they're like, ah, he's loose. And he's like, no, it's okay. We've never heard him speak before. Let me tell you what happened. He's talking normally. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Later, the Bible says Jesus went back into that area and had a great successful ministry because this man had gone around and told his testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's go to verse 21. Praise God. The verse I left out, I wanted to share with you before you get there. Look at Luke 10, 17. Just throw this in, just so we know. Luke 10, 17. I'm sorry, Charlene. I slipped right by that one earlier, but I want to point this one out. The demons had to leave at Jesus' command. When Jesus commanded those demons to go, they had to leave. But demons have to leave at our command as well. That's what I want you to see. I'll just read it for you. Luke 10, 17, if we aren't able to get there. But Luke 10, 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So the demons were subject to Jesus, but demons are subject to us in his name. Amen. All right. Now we can go to Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So here we see, here's another situation. Here's another situation that's grim. Here's a girl. We find out later in the story she's 12 years old. She's at the point of death. But the man says, Jesus, you come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And so the word, I want to point out here, the word may there is not maybe she will, maybe she won't. But the word may is a word of access. May I have a piece of cake? May I have a cup of coffee? What are you doing? You're asking permission to access that, right? Yes. It's a word of access. It's a word of permission and access. Yes. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed is a word of access. In other words, when you lay hands on her, Jesus, that will access your healing power, yes, and she will live.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's accessing. He's saying, we're going to access. When you lay hands on her, that will access your healing power and she will live. Hallelujah. So Jesus starts to head that way. In verse 25, we see another situation arising here. In verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. We'll get back to the man and his daughter in a few minutes here. Mark will in the scripture here. But he interjects something that happened in the between. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, think about that. Think about her condition and think about what she's dealing with constantly for 12 years. She's having a flow of blood for 12 years. And the thing is, it says she suffered many things from many physicians. She had been to the best doctors. And she had spent all that she had. It had depleted her resources financially. She had been to the doctor. She had done everything she needed to do in the natural. We do that, don't we? There's nothing wrong with that. You have a problem. You have a situation. You're going to do everything in the natural you know to do to correct that situation. But don't leave out the missing element and ingredient of but God. Don't think that the missing ingredient of but God will not work for you or does not apply to you. It does apply. Hallelujah. It does apply to whoever will accept it, to whoever will receive it. Amen. To whoever will call on Him. Amen. Praise God. So here's her condition. It seems pretty hopeless. It's been going on for 12 years. That's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time to suffer with the same condition. And the thing about it is, she's not seen any positive signs. It says that she was no better, but she was getting worse. There were no positive signs at all. But the Bible says something here. It says in verse number 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus. Or we could say it this way, but God. But God. God got involved. Jesus got involved in her situation. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Now again, here's another place where Mark kind of gets things out of order. You have to read it carefully and closely to see what was happening here. So she heard something about Jesus. And when she heard about Jesus, she believed that if she could get to him and touch him, that she would be made whole. She must have heard that it was his will to heal all. Otherwise, the devil would have come along to her and said, "Yeah, Jesus is healing all right, but you know, it's not his will to heal you." She had to have heard a more positive message about Jesus than some of us have heard at some points in the past that we have to root out sometimes. So she had to have heard that it was Jesus was healing all that came to him. And it says when she heard that, it says that she came, for she said. So the progression is actually this. She heard, and then she said something. It says she came, for she said. So the saying came before the coming to Jesus. And before the saying, she had to hear something. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. When you hear the Word of God, faith comes. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to hear the Word of God. That's why it's so important not to neglect the Word of God. Why? Well, you know, so I can check off my thing. So God, no, faith comes. It's not so you can mark off you did your obligation that day. It's so faith can come. And you need faith coming continually. You and I need faith coming continually because we face enough situations where faith wants to leave. So we need faith coming in continually. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so she heard something about Jesus. When she heard that, so we've got a part to play. We have to hear. And we have to choose to believe. She had to make a decision when she heard. She had a decision to make. Do I believe that? Do I believe this report that I've heard? Ah, no, that couldn't be happening. No, she chose instead, you know, if I get to Jesus, I'm going to be healed. She believed that. And then she started saying it. Amen. The Bible says she came, for she said. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She started saying that. We call this, so we demonstrate or we act on our belief through what we say and do. We call that releasing our faith. Amen. Faith has to be released. Faith is released in words that we say and in actions that we take. If we're not motivated to say anything or do anything, then it's likely we've not allowed faith to rise up yet. Because if you're really in faith, if you really believe, something's going to come out of your mouth and you're going to begin to act accordingly. The corresponding actions to faith. That's what releases faith. That's what plugs your faith into the power of God. That's what caused her to plug into the power of Jesus quite literally. Because the Bible says that she came and she reached out and touched his garment. She said, "If I do that, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Amen. That's what she did. What she did. She was telling the devil how it was going to be. Yeah. Amen. Amen. She didn't buy those lies he was telling her. "Well, you're always going to be, this is getting worse and worse. You're just going to eventually die with it." She said, "No, if only I may touch his clothes, I should be made well." Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So we call that releasing our faith. She did that. But then God does what only he can do. She had done all she could do in the natural. It had not worked. But then she plugged in to Jesus by faith. Hallelujah. Verse 28, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Look at verse 30. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Woo! Jesus didn't know he was around, or she was around, until all of a sudden, shoo! He feels, he senses the power of God go out of him. He said, "Who'd that go into?" Somebody got a hold of me with faith. Who'd that go into? Amen. So he turned around to see who had done this. And they said, well, who touched? He said, who touched me? And his disciples said, well, about 1,000 people, Jesus, that's all. All the crowd was gathered around with him as they were headed to Jairus' house, remember? But all of a sudden, he felt something. He felt a transfer of the power, the anointing of God go out of him. And he said, who'd that go into? Well, he said, over here, Lord, it was me. And immediately, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And then Jesus says to her in verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Do you know if her faith made her well, that your faith can make you well? Do you know your situation may be a hopeless looking situation? It might not have changed for 12. As a matter of fact, it might have gotten worse over the last 12 years. It could be a physical condition. It could be your finances. It could be in relationships. It could be emotionally, whatever. But God. Never underestimate the power of but God to dramatically, supernaturally change your situation. Hallelujah. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Amen. The Spirit of God is trying to encourage you not to give up, not to write your situation off, but God. Hallelujah. But God. Everybody say, but God.
But God.
Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Verse 35. We'll get back in this situation. It says, while he was still speaking, while he was saying, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Made you well, go in peace. While he was still saying that, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. It's this guy that approached Jesus earlier, who said to the ruler of the synagogue, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? They had a lot of tact, didn't they? And they just came out and said, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher any further. Well, let me just point this out. Number one, you're not troubling Jesus. Amen. He wants to help you. Hallelujah. He wants to invade your life with but God. You're not troubling him. And so verse 36, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. So the report came, it's too late. It's not too late for but God. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not too late for but God. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil have the final say. So what do you do? What do you do when bad news comes? This man had made a faith declaration. You come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Sometimes after you make a faith declaration, the situation goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? Instead from bad to good. What do you do? Well, what did Jesus tell this man to do? This bad report came. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Two things. Number one, do not allow fear to overwhelm you. Do not allow fear to overwhelm you. God is bigger. Now notice Jesus did this. It says, as soon as that word was spoken. Jesus didn't wait a heartbeat. Jesus didn't wait a minute. Jesus didn't take any time. He knew that that report had to be confronted and dealt with immediately. Amen. Immediately. Amen. As soon as that word was spoken, immediately Jesus said, wait. He looked at me and said, don't be afraid. Keep believing. Immediately. You have to counter evil reports immediately with your faith. Amen. Don't ponder them. Don't begin to imagine, okay, now what's that going to look like when this plays out like this? No. Immediately counter it with the Word of God. Immediately counter it with your faith. Amen. Jesus immediately spoke to that man. Don't be afraid, only believe. So the first part, do not be afraid. Don't allow fear to overwhelm you. God is bigger. Yes. God is bigger than that bad report that came. Amen. God is bigger. Hallelujah. And then the second thing, only believe. That's all we have to do. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Only do what?
Believe.
Only believe. Only believe. Hallelujah. That's my part, believing. That's your part, believing. That's all we have to do. Don't say, oh, now what do I do now? Evidently, believing is not working. Evidently, there's something more I have to do because this bad report came. No, if you're believing, don't change that. Keep believing. That this whole thing came to get you to stop believing. This whole attack came, this whole bad report came to get you to stop doing what you're doing. Why? Because the devil knows it's working. Because the devil knows it's going to eventually pay off. Don't stop believing. Hallelujah. Amen. The Amplified Bible says it this way, verse 36, overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing. Look at that. Overhearing. There's some things you might overhear that you best ignore. Has anybody found that out? Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Hallelujah. Keep on believing. There's some things you just as well. I'm not talking about denial. We're not talking about people living in denial or any other river. Some of you get that on the way home. Amen. We're not talking about living in denial, but there's some things that you will overhear that you will have to ignore. You might have to ignore it. Respect. I understand that. I appreciate that. I hear what you're saying. Goodbye. Like Brother Randy did. You know, he got on the phone. He was in prison. You know, and they had told him he'd be released from parole in the month of none. You know, he says he rushed to the calendar. January, February, March. He couldn't find the month of none. He realized what they were telling him. You're not getting out, son. So his mother went to the parole board. He says, he's believing God. Jesus, the Lord said, what scriptures can you quote me that promise you'll be released? He said, I don't know any. Lord, he said, let me give you some. So the Holy Spirit guided him, and he began to speak the word and begin to say what God said about his situation. His mother went to the parole board for him. He called her up. Immediately, she started crying. Mama, how'd it go? She said, oh, son, it looked bad. They brought up that. Mama, I love you. Goodbye. Hung up the phone, got his scriptures back out. Amen.
Amen.
Keep on believing. Amen. Praise God. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Do not be afraid. Only keep on believing. Hallelujah. And so in your situation, even after you've invited God to come in, it may look like things are getting worse, but do not fear. Only believe. Only believe. Will you do that? Will you do that? Praise God. Verse 41, Jesus gets there, runs some people out that are just there just to mourn. They're not there in faith. And he says, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement.
Amen.
Why? Because that man, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. You know, Jesus does have to have something to work with. He says, you know, all I need is one thing out of you. He said, I just need your faith to work with. If you'll keep believing, then I can do something. If you keep believing, then we got something to work with here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let me give you a couple of more as we wrap up this morning, a couple of more but God scriptures that will encourage you. Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, talking to his brothers, he says, but as for you, you meant it evil against me. They sold him into slavery. He ended up in Egypt. He ended up in prison there, unjustly accused. All these bad things happened to Joseph. You meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. But God came into Joseph's life and took him where his dreams were shattered. God had given him dreams of success and victory and prominence. And all of that had been stripped away and taken away. But God turned it all around and put him right in that place and fulfilled his dreams. Probably not in the way that Joseph imagined to begin with, but God brought it to pass. Hallelujah. God brought it to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Romans chapter 5:8, it says, but God Those verses before talk about how we were without God and how our situation was hopeless, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Aren't you glad for that but God in your life, in that situation? Yes. Hallelujah. Here's one final one. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Oh, thank God. But God is faithful. You're tempted. You got trouble. You got things going on. But right in the middle of that, but God. You may be in a situation where things don't make sense. You don't understand what's happening. You don't understand why these difficulties are coming against you. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. And He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, He will make a way of escape. He's not bringing the temptation, but when the temptation's coming, God's bringing a way of escape. God's bringing a way of victory. He's always faithful to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Never underestimate the power of but God. Of the supernatural power of God invading your situation. Don't let the devil have the final say. Don't let the devil tell you how it's going to be. Tell him how it's going to be. Hallelujah. Let God have the final say in your situation. Let God have the final say in your life. Let God have the final say in your health. Let God have the final say in your finances. Let God have the final say in your family. He wants to invade each of our lives with His power. Hallelujah. Yes, we do what we know to do in the natural, but if it looks like it's not working or they tell you it can't be, don't settle for that. But God can turn it all around. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word this morning.